This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey, it's Rob. It was an amazing week of Survivor, and we had incredible podcasts with Christian Hubicki and Steven on the Know-It-Alls. Make sure you catch those as well. Plus, The Circle was back this week with an AI contestant. Taryn, Mike Bloom, and Puya broke down the first week of drops from The Circle and on Renap. Who did Sam Moore find for the big guest? Find out on this week's Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Sestrino back to welcome you aboard our big deck energy below deck sailing yacht season 4 episode 7 recap. And today we are joined by mess magnet royalty here to have come on board, as everybody we know is partying in Brooklyn tonight. Please welcome Kirsten McInnes. Kirsten, how are you?
I'm doing great, Rob. I feel like we are, you know, working on the inside while everyone's up on the deck having fun in the water.
Yes.
But we've got a lot of work to do.
We're interior while everybody is having fun, partying with the crew. We're just here schlepping away, trying to clean up.
Just doing so much laundry, folding towels, wiping every surface, making drinks, you know.
Yes. Okay. So much like the Parsifal, hopefully we will be on fire here tonight as we talk through episode number 7 of Below Deck : Sailing Yacht, which was nominated for some awards, some like Critics' Choice Reality Awards, the same one that Survivor 44 is nominated for.
Wow, that is some steep competition. What are the other nominees for this award?
You know what? I have to go to Carson from Survivor's tweets. Oh, and then I don't have Sam Moore tonight backstage to hit me with this information. But I will go ahead and
take a night off.
Critics' Choice Real Awards.
I got to tell you. I don't even understand what that means.
They're real, but and also there's not going to be a ceremony because of the writer's strike. So they're just going to announce them on Twitter coming up on June 15th.
Well, solidarity. Get a deal for the writers so that they can have this ceremony.
Sure, sure. Kirsten, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. I have a new obsession, which is Below Deck : Sailing Yacht. I've watched 6 episodes in the last 48 hours and listened to all of the podcasts. I'm ready to dive back into the old seasons and the whole Below Deck cinematic universe. And I'm just grateful to have finally had an excuse to check out this show. I feel like it was on the back burner for a long time, and now there's a podcast, so I had to watch it.
Yeah. Kirsten, have you watched any other versions of Below Deck?
No, Bravo has definitely been like a major blind spot for me. So I haven't really gotten into any of the Bravo reality before, including any of the other Below Decks, but I'm ready to get into all of them now because this is just, it's
you're
such
hooked. You're
good.
You're hooked on the franchise.
It just, like, the episodes go down so easy. It's such low stakes drama, but also it feels super high stakes. It's the type of show where you get to the end, you're like, okay, next episode. I love it. Shows when I don't have to like anyone are my favorite.
Okay. Let me just also close the loop on these are the Critics' Choice Real TV Awards. I don't know if Survivor is head-to-head with Below Deck Sailing Yacht. Below Deck Sailing Yacht is nominated for Best Unstructured Series. I guess there's too much structure on Survivor. So they are nominated for Best Unstructured Series, but they are up against Survivor, okay? For Best Ensemble Cast in an Unscripted Series, the nominees are Below Deck Sailing Yacht, Dancing with the Stars, RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars, Special Forces, World's Toughest Test, Survivor Season 44, and Vanderpump Rules. No nominations for the Real Love Boat, Kirsten.
Which is honestly so rude to all of the people that worked on board the Real Love Boat.
Yes. Okay.
Poor Ezra, Rob.
Yes. It would be the funniest if Special Forces, World's Toughest Test wins.
I mean, I think ensemble cast has to be the only like category where they could have a shot, right?
I'm trying to, are they nominated for any other? The only one that they're nominated for. So check that out. By the way, speaking of Vanderpump Rules, not only was Vanderpump covered on this week's Mess Magnet with a special guest co-host, Brian Scally, the Love Island crew reunited. Also, Vanderpump Rules, you can catch the recap of the finale and the multiple part reunion shows in our Bravo TV podcast feed, which you can hear this podcast in. Of course, check out the panel. Brian Cohen, Ali Lasher, TikTok Nicole, and Haley Strong are getting together to talk about Vanderpump Rules, the end of course, the big controversial season. You can check it out at robiswebsite.com/bravofeed. And Sasha from on the road checks in to say, hi, friends, at a bar, trying to avoid the Garys of the world, but I wanted to say, hi, can't wait to listen back.
She says she's avoiding the Garys of the world, but she seems quite pro-Gary on this podcast, which is something that her and I are going to have to discuss privately.
Okay, yeah. All right. Give us some of your takes coming in. You've binged all of the show, all of the podcast. What are your thoughts on Below Deck Sailing Yacht?
Well, I just think Gary might be one of the worst people I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah,
I
get
have
it.
To assume that it's Stockholm Syndrome is the only reason why he has
or
any
China
success.
Syndrome. Yeah. So, yeah, that Sasha says that he must have like a just off the charts pheromones.
Which, I mean, maybe, I don't know. You would have to have a lot of pheromones to make up for the way that he acts and just is in general.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel like the blatant safety violations on this yacht, I think they're going to come back to bite them. Like, it didn't happen this episode, but it's coming.
When you say safety, you mean, like, the in engine. Terms of, like, the boat work? Okay, yes.
I don't know. I don't think one man can take apart an engine and put it back together in supposedly a few hours and everything's going to be okay.
Well, my question is that did you think that Colin actually effed it up the first time he fixed the boat? Was this like a direct result of Colin not fixing the boat the correct way was why it broke this time?
I mean, I'm sure that not having the cooling system on is what is going to contribute to several different repairs needing to be done on the engine. But he did save it from needing the full rebuild right away, I guess. I don't know. I just think that there should be a discount for anyone chartering this yacht while it's not in like full working order.
Were given.
They need more discounts.
Yeah. Okay. But any other big takeaways about the crew? Yeah.
This is not about the crew, but it's about Justin Guarini.
Yes.
Because I feel like he was getting a lot of hate on this podcast for getting his shirts ironed. But he didn't ask for his shirts to be ironed. He asked for them to be hung up and she offered to iron them. And so when offered the chance, he's like, yeah, sure, iron them. So I think that he got a little bit slandered on the Below Deck wrap-up.
Okay. This is a controversial week for American Idol, so we don't need to bring Justin Guarini down.
I mean, not in the same
way. Did you cover that on Mess Magnets?
No, I just saw that today, so it was a little too late to make it into Mess Magnets.
Mm-hmm. Some people say American Idol is rigged.
I wouldn't be surprised. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Also, my sister back in the day was like rooting for Justin Guarini over Kelly, a take that has not aged well.
Do you think that had Justin Guarini won that he would be like hosting talk shows and Kelly Clarkson would be hanging out on Below Deck?
No, I think American Idol would have had like less than half the amount of seasons.
Okay. So you feel like that Kelly Clarkson just made the show. Honestly, I feel like that it doesn't matter who won. I feel like that it was just such a hit.
Because it was the first season, I think that it really like she established the show.
Yeah, this is a whole different conversation, but I don't feel like it's necessarily like if Kelly would have won versus like if Richard would have won, because I don't feel like that like American Idol 2 contestants like did anything different based off of like, oh, that I see that Justin Guarini had the winning strategy.
I mean, I guess because it's not a strategic show. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I guess I've taken us far off of the
path.
We're
far off course.
I'm so sorry.
As far off course as the Percival is. Okay. Are there any other characters from Below Deck that you want to just give us your initial thoughts on?
My initial thoughts on? Okay, well, I feel like people are really sleeping on Lucy. She's so funny, and I don't understand why they're not all in love with her.
She is funny, but she doesn't do anything. She doesn't have any story other than, like, falling down.
I think that what we're not seeing about Lucy is that she is a lot more confident and like comfortable with herself. Whereas I get the impression that Mads is a lot more insecure and that maybe she makes choices based on that.
Yeah, certainly. But in terms of like getting the screen time, Lucy needs to like step up her game.
But yeah, she only really gets it when she's messing up at work, right?
Yes, or falling out of the bed or knocking things over. So.
And I'm sorry, I don't understand how she fell and got that scratch on her back. Like that
either.
Looked like a sleep paralysis demon, like scratching her, like something from another dimension.
Like Freddy Krueger.
Yeah. Literally, that looked like Freddy Krueger got her.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know.
All right, so we had a lot of stuff going on, and really a lot of shenanigans going on at the start of this episode. Typically, like the formula had been they go out on a charter, and then we see the end of the charter, and then we see everybody going out. You know, something that I realized about Below Deck, Kirsten, is that I feel like that the show really like lives in the space of like we see the people on the show serving, and then we see them go out. And then we see them being served. It's a very much like a role reversal. Like they are like making, there's a lot of like eating like incredible looking food, but sometimes they're serving it and other times they're eating it.
Well, I mean, this is just like textbook how people in like the industry are. Like if you know people who work in restaurants or fine dining or anything like that, they finish their shift and then they're going to probably like whatever the one late night place is that's still open. And then they're going to spend all of their tips getting drunk and eating good food and tipping the people that work at industry night.
Yeah, that's a good point. Have you done any working in restaurants?
My first job was at Pizza Hut and I worked in the kitchen. So I was a pizza cook.
Was it a similar vibe to Below Deck?
I mean, people are very frantic in the kitchen, to be honest. Not a vibe with the going out and all of that, as I was 15 years old. So I think that we'd have some big problems if the rest of it was similar. But yeah, people do get, like, especially the comparisons with the chef, it's super frantic. And then in one summer in university, I worked as a dishwasher in a fancy French restaurant. And that... Oh. I think was very similar to the way the meal service in Below Deck works of like how fast everything has to be and the time between courses and very, very hectic.
Okay, well, we got to see everybody going out and partying and Glenn dropped everybody off at this restaurant. And there was a lot of friction in this episode still between Colin and Daisy after how everything turned out on the third charter that they went out on.
Yeah, the tip meeting was very dramatic. And I think Colin was trying to calm everything down, but it was not the time to be trying to calm Daisy down. So she's not thrilled. He's in her crosshairs.
Yeah. Do you have a take on whose side are you on, Colin or Daisy and all of this?
I think it was a good idea for Colin to say something, but I think... It also was just like she's not in a good mood. She had to leave the meeting for a moment. Like, I think it's just, you know what? How about next meeting? You like at the beginning, say something like, hey, I think we all need to be super open to constructive criticism when it's not like one day after she's been dealing with these like demons.
Yeah. I don't really know what Colin does when the boat's not broken.
It seems like he just like helps out where he can.
Just vibes out. Yeah.
Like, I know he's not making smoothies.
No, he's not. I really liked his shirt. Did you happen to catch that?
I didn't note anything specific about it.
A nice shirt. I did like it.
Oh, was that like, it was like multiple colors?
Yeah, it's a lot of colors. Very colorful shirt.
Yeah, he looked pretty good. I do think he needs a haircut, but I guess they're out to sea, so.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Well, I mean, they're like, they spend a lot of time at the dock. I feel like that they could get haircuts.
There's too much work to do, Rob.
I guess so. All right. So everybody is out at dinner. And of course, you know, we have this love triangle going on with Mads, with Alex and Mads and Gary.
Well, and this is just so frustrating because Mads likes Alex and Alex likes Mads, but they just haven't actually talked about it. So then Mads like, oh, I guess he doesn't like me. I'll settle for Gary. It's embarrassing. Stand up.
Well, Gary is his boss. Alex doesn't want to get fired off the ship.
Which, I mean, is a fair point that this is a very
Gary's
messed
also
up.
Mads' boss, I think, but
I think technically Daisy is Mads.
I don't know what the flow chart is. I think the organizational chart works.
I think you've got like captain and then Gary is in charge of all the like above the deck people. And then Daisy is in charge of all the interior people.
Yeah. So there's no like rank on the ship where like Gary, like if the captain dies, like, is there sort of like like chain of command of who becomes the new captain?
I mean, I would guess that Gary would be the acting captain, but I don't think that that.
So until
roles,
that point, he's not Mads' boss.
I mean, he's not Mads' boss, but he is like above her still, you know, like it's in many ways. Yeah. I don't know. They need Angela Bloom to sort this out because this is none of this seems OK from a human resources standpoint.
For sure. OK. And so, yeah, Alex just, he's basically like deferred. Like he went from that. He fell asleep in the hot tub that night, Kirsten. And then since that point, he's just basically like, okay, well, I guess she likes Gary.
When he literally, I think in this episode says to her face, like, I'm just jealous. And you'd think that that would maybe make something happen. I don't know. I guess because they're both new as well to the boat, like. That also adds to it if they'd been there for years or if one of them had seen Gary for a long time pulling these shenanigans, maybe something else could happen. I don't know.
Yeah. Why do they always have to do like men's cab and women's cab?
For the confessionals.
Yes. Okay.
They want to see if they can get any gold, like when they were talking about Alex's equipment last week.
Yeah, they did do a F, marry, kill. Now, can you do F, marry, kill with more than three people?
I mean, are they really operating off of there being more than three people? I guess for the girls.
Yeah, the girls were doing F, marry, kill. And I think this was Mads who said she would F Alex, marry Colin, kill Chase. Everybody wants to kill Chase. Nobody likes Chase.
I don't even think Chase likes Chase, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, he does himself no favors and he is getting buried with the edit. He had another weird comment this week, too.
What'd he say?
Something about how he smelled, maybe.
Yeah.
I didn't write it down.
I don't know. He also was like really trying to push Twister. He was the one that was like, we got to play Twister. I'm here to vibe out and play Twister. Twister sucks.
I mean, I think that they're using Twister as foreplay, not as like a game. So it's a little different.
Find me the situation where Twister doesn't suck.
I think Chase has probably had that situation before. Are
you a Twister fan?
I mean, I'm not like, oh, let's play Twister, but I'm hyper mobile. So I'm really good at Twister. I'm really good at it.
You are. Okay. I don't want to be like where like everybody like, you know, put my hand where you just put your foot like get out of here.
COVID maybe should have killed Twister.
So. Yeah,
that's a good
point.
It's
not good. I feel like that nobody really knows the rules also.
Well, yeah, because nobody's actually playing. Like, you're looking at this from a board game perspective as someone who's like a strategic gameplay person. They are playing Twister because they want – their bodies to be close to each other.
But even still, is Twister even good for that? Like, I don't know. I don't think so.
I think if everyone goes into it with that goal, it becomes that. Mm-hmm. Everyone has to have the same priorities.
Yeah. Okay. I don't want to yuck anybody's yum, but I don't think so.
You're not kink shaming. You're kink asking why.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. And then eventually, like, you know, Alex, that he basically sees Mads and Gary and is like, okay, I guess I'll just go to bed.
Well, it's also super weird because Gary's doing his thing where he just outweights everybody else. Like, yeah. He's not good at much, but he's good at waiting, I guess, and staying up late. And so he's talking to Mads and they're just kind of whispering. And then Alex, like, pops in to grab something from the bar and Gary's like, see what I mean? I was like, Alex didn't do anything.
Yeah. And Mad says it like, look, well, she likes Alex more, but at the end of the day, she's a little H word. And that's that.
She's thirsty girl. Mm-hmm. And she's letting that cloud her judgment. I just want better for her.
Yeah. She ends up with Gary again.
Yeah. And we don't. Based on what we saw, obviously they did not go all the way.
She like runs for it at the end of the night. Yeah.
And that's what's also like extra weird about this is because throughout all of the parts of them hooking up, we get scenes of her being like, oh no, I need to go to bed. And then him like pulling her back in for a kiss. And it's like, she said no, like, this is weird. Just mm-hmm. let her go to bed. Why are you holding her hostage?
She also seems to, like, openly dislike him, like, when they're not partying.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's how everyone feels about Gary. Mm-hmm. I think that he really relies on partying to get women.
Well, Mads does say the next day she hates herself.
I mean, and I probably would, too, in the same situation.
Yeah.
But I would also hate Gary more.
Yeah. And everybody just wakes up like super hungover again. And Daisy wants to know about what's going on with him and Mads. And he's like, I'm not going to tell her.
Well, yeah. And so this is the whole like, basically this season of Below Deck Sailing Yacht is a good one to get into because most people are new. But then like the one piece of history you need to know is about Gary and Daisy having a like back and forth of will they, won't they? Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's obviously that it's not actually going to ever happen. But
yeah,
he doesn't want to say because it's like he still thinks he has a shot.
Yeah, I am pretty sure they won't.
If it was going to happen, it would have happened already. Like, they are literally locked on a boat together. And so she would go for it if she really wanted to. And he just sees women as like, oh, it's fine. Like, the next bus comes in 15 minutes. It doesn't work out with Daisy. I'll go for Mads.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he's not too into it. Daisy and Colin, they actually work out their differences also, finally.
Yeah, I thought that was very sweet, actually, that he was like, hey, come up to the deck. Let's have a conversation. Let's talk it out. Like a normal level of maturity for someone in their 30s at work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do think that for the most part, Colin's pretty professional.
I mean, he's the only one who seems to have any limits other than Daisy about who he will and won't hook up with.
Gary does claim that Colin bombed the bathroom. Is Gary a reliable narrator?
I mean, Gary is not a reliable narrator, but also like that's
that
just
seems
something
like a Gary thing to like way more on brand for Gary.
I mean, I think that's the kind of thing that could happen to almost anyone.
Could happen to anybody, but I could totally see Gary throwing Colin under the bus.
I mean, have you, like, you look at these quarters that they are living in, the crew, like, I'm sure that that's something that happens every single day, and they just decided to show the confessional mm-hmm. to give, like, a crumb of, like, Gary being anti-Colin.
Maybe, but I kind of feel like I have, like, a little bit more of an eyebrow raised looking at Gary, the guy who was, like, up drinking the latest, I'm just saying. Gary looks low, like he would be my number one suspect.
See, to me, I feel like Gary might have issues having a successful BM. Like, I think he might be constipated.
And just another thing that's blocked for Gary. Okay. Don't blame Daisy for this.
Oh, no.
All right. Let's talk about the charter. Okay. It's charter day. And are these all stars that are coming back, Carson?
Yeah. So this group of people.
Who are these people?
So they were on last season. And the primary is named Jim Blumenthal. And they call him, his alter ego is called Big Jim.
Big Jim.
And so last season, they made the crew put on a talent show. But also, in spite of that, everyone loves them so much and thinks that this is like a very sweet group.
Okay. Jim Blumenthal. What else do we know about Jim Blumenthal? Anything?
I didn't do enough research. Can someone please in the chat if we know more about him?
I mean, I guess that Big Jim was a character.
Oh, he is from Colorado. Mm-hmm. And this is from showstarnews.com.
Yes, reliable.
It says Below Deck Sailing Yacht, who are charter guests? Jim Blumenthal and Ken. So Ken doesn't get a last name. So he comes on with his friends, Ken, Chris, Rick, and Marnie. And what does it say about Jim? Jim owns an RV dealership. He loves to hunt and travel.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes. Okay. The crew work hard to entertain Jim Blumenthal.
I just can't imagine doing a job like this where at any time you could be asked to do. I mean, I guess you technically did that on the Real Love Boat podcast. You tried to put on an impromptu talent show, but other than that,
I did.
Well, because that's what they did in episode one, is everyone had to give their talent. Uh-oh. I think you were trying to get Jenny and I to show our talent.
Yes.
But we were able to say no. They're mm-hmm. locked on a boat. They have to do it or they won't get a good tip.
Yeah, it's very hard to be, I think, a returning all-star on Below Deck Sailing Yacht. Right, Kirsten? Do you have any thoughts on this?
I mean, you have to give a good tip and you have to be really nice to the crew, I guess.
But aren't the best people the horrible people?
I mean, for us, yes. That mm-hmm. is true. Because they even tried to make like the last group seem so much worse than they really were.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But Amanda's saying that on LinkedIn, someone endorsed Jim Blumenthal for strategic planning. So maybe he really knows what he's doing in Below Deck.
Yeah. Okay. Do you think that the rest of the Below Deck crew has LinkedIn?
I highly doubt it.
Yeah.
They don't know what LinkedIn is.
Probably not. Yeah. That's like when they are like drop anchor. They're LinkedIn finally.
Okay. That's Rusty like in the chat when you're says, done.
Yeah. Rusty in the chat says the dude who came back who hated the food, everybody hated him. I don't know. Well, Big Jim's an all-star this season.
Yeah, I think this must be a different returning person.
Yeah.
That hated the food. Because everyone loved this guy so much. They were like, oh, he's so sweet. He was like he had bits with everyone already. Like,
yeah, I don't know. I feel like I was missing the joke.
Me too.
Yeah. Okay. So did they want, besides a talent show, potentially, I feel like they were pretty easygoing in terms of what they were asking for.
Yeah, they wanted yoga in the mornings, which I think might be a little bit much, but I feel like they're not mm-hmm. going to wake up. This is where the interior people are like, okay, well, let's get them drunk so they don't wake up in time for yoga.
Yeah, what I do like about the Below Deck ship is that sometimes the people are asking for things and then it's like that's not really a thing that they have, but they tell the customer yes. And then it's like they're going to figure it out. It would be like if we had like VIPs like coming to the the live show and the VIPs were like, I really would like to do pottery at the live show. It's like, all right, Chappelle, you teach a pottery class, okay?
Well, I think it's also like especially because this is like extremely, extremely high end luxury experience. In customer service, you can't say no. You have to, you have to make it a yes. You have to provide everything that they're asking of you. And I have to assume that production is kind of prodding people to ask for things that are a little bit outside the box, because who's thinking like, yeah, I want the people that work on this yacht to teach me yoga because they definitely know how to do that. Like, that's just not something grounded in reality. So I'm sure that after it was when they were setting up the beach, I think it was Luce and Alex that were doing yoga on the beach. And now suddenly production is bringing up, Chase. Right.
Yeah, Chase was leading the yoga on this one.
Well, but when they were doing the beach setup, was it Chase still then?
I'm not sure. Maybe Chase. I mean, Chase seemed like he might be a yogi.
I mean, I feel like if you've gone to like 5 to 10 yoga classes, you could probably put together something to lead people through. It might not be like the ideal yoga class or the best workout or anything, but I think once you've done a little bit, you could probably be like, okay, these are like the 4 main elements and we'll just pop them in.
Yeah. Rusty also in the chat says the crew once dressed up as Aerosmith.
Was it as good as when they dressed up as the Spice Girls?
Yeah, I guess they do a lot of covering of bands. You think they have costumes on the boat?
I mean, they have to have some kind of costume situation. I mean, I guess it's also like they can get supplies.
How do you dress as Aerosmith?
I got to tell you, this is outside of my knowledge base.
Yes.
If you showed me a picture of Aerosmith, I would be like, okay, well, I know Steven Tyler, but.
Yeah. I don't really know. Like, I feel like that Steven Tyler has like a scarves, I feel like.
Yeah, I feel like this is a lot of people wearing just pants and a shirt.
I feel like maybe it's like a lot of rings, but I don't really know if they have like a look. It's not even like Guns N' Roses where Slash has a top hat.
Yeah, I'm seeing lots of different looks on my Google image. Yeah, so yeah. I really don't know. Not guitars.
Okay. All right. Well, we have got a real situation to talk about, yes. Kirsten, because we have a smoke on the water, fire in the hole. The smoke. I think that was the name of the episode, Smoke on the Water.
Yeah, I think so.
Yes. And so the boat, there's smoke coming out of the engine room.
This is a big deal, especially considering that they don't have a cooling system for their engine right now. You have to, even if they didn't, you have to take smoke very seriously. So Colin's like, okay, time to take the engine apart again. Yep. I just don't think it's that easy to take an engine apart.
Sure,
maybe that's just like not in my skill level, but I find it very impressive that Colin can somehow just like take the engine apart, put it back together.
Yeah, that's why I'm very pro Colin. I feel like that he's a very valuable member of this crew. The people that were on the boat, I think, took this very well. Like, I kind of feel like that if this, like, I think people sometimes like know they're on TV. Mm-hmm. And I think if this was like a real life situation where people like rented this boat, I think they would be behaving a lot worse.
Well, I also think because these are repeat clients that it's a little bit different. Like, I think if this was their first, like if this was the first charter of the season and Karen was there, like Karen would have jumped off the boat into the ocean or something like that. Like these are people who've been there before. Maybe there was an emergency when they were there before. I don't know.
Maybe. And you think so that Glenn would have been fine. Jim, I thought you were cool.
Who knows, truly?
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea. Like, I just am like, and also, like, Glenn, I have no idea what Glenn is about. I feel like all we see from Glenn is he's there at the beginning, he's there at the tip meeting, and then, like, maybe he'll, like, pop in with some unasked for criticism.
Now, did you like Glenn better or the captain on the Real Love Boat better?
Well, I mean, Paolo is much more handsome.
We're not going to stand for this Glenn slander. Now, Paolo, though, I think would like talk people's ear off more.
I mean, and that might actually work well in this context, though. It seems like everybody wants to have dinner with the captain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's making things make a lot more sense about the real Love Boat, because we were all confused about how that was a prize, but it turns out that actually is a big, a big boon.
Yeah. Okay. Michael in the chat says that I think that there were other crew members on the board who are not filmed that helped Colin. Are there like boat elves that help with these problems?
I mean, there has to be a couple of more people working on it, I have to assume, that we just don't see.
Mm-hmm.
But I still feel like taking apart an engine is really hard. Like, that's like a very precise work that you need to do. Colin is definitely the MVP.
MVP. Give him the fishy for this episode. Now, here's where Daisy lost me a little bit here in this episode. Okay. Daisy said, oh, I can't believe it. We're having engine problems again. Now, this is going to be a lot of pressure for the interior.
Now, why did Daisy lose you for saying that?
Because that, you know who has the most pressure? The guy who has to fix the boat.
Okay, fair, but also she
has
to
be a team player, Daisy.
She is a team player. That's why she's stressed out, because now her and her team have to pick up the slack for not being able to go out and about on the open sea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
At least they got off the dock this time.
Yeah, they were out in they were anchored for this one. But, you know, I'm starting to be like, you know, I was pro Daisy, but I feel like she's making everything about herself.
I think you're undervaluing the amount of work that they do in the interior, just like Captain Glenn and Gary.
Yeah, maybe. But I feel like that this issue was like much more about like, hey, let's fix the boat.
I mean, I think she would have been less stressed out about all the extra work if A, they hadn't already had the charter that didn't get to leave the dock, and B, she hadn't just gotten like some pretty negative criticism. Like, this is the fourth charter, and two of the three previous, she's received negative feedback at the end. So I think she's really just like, I take pride in my work and I want to do a good job, and every little thing just makes that much harder. Like, I don't think she's saying, oh, well, Colin's not doing anything and the engine is no big deal. I think she's just like, ugh, and it impacts me like this. I think that's human to think of how something's going to impact you personally.
Yeah. Even Rusty says that not to mention they were anchored. They could play on the toys. They weren't all just going to be hanging out inside the boat.
I don't know. I guess I'm the Daisy defender and I've logged on. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Well, they gotta fix this issue, and Colin tracks down an oil leak, and ultimately figures out it's just a turbocharger.
Yeah, definitely a real engine part that we all knew existed before this episode of Below Deck.
Yeah, turbocharger. It just broken turbocharger.
And it probably broke because it's been too hot because there's no cooling. So I think that we're just going to get more little engine issues like this over the course of the season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the little engine that couldn't.
How did you feel about all of the texts from Glenn to the various suppliers popping up on the
screen?
Glenn
was striking out bad. Yeah.
I just loved how they put like Glenn's text messages on what would be like the text coming inside of the phone.
Oh, they got it backwards.
And then the ones coming to him would say, we're on the wrong side, and then said to Glenn. And they really could have just tightened that up a little bit.
Do you think that those were authentic text messages from Glenn? Do you think that they were like after that was over there, like, Glenn, can we get your phone so we can get back and forth? Or do you think that they just were making it up?
I think at least one text was real.
Glenn, no way, can't do it. That'll be forever.
I think probably like one or two texts were real, but then they added more for dramatic effect.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how many suppliers realistically are there for these engine parts that he's on a texting basis with, right? Like, it can't be like six.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He knows them all anyway. So they finally get the turbo, and the season would have been over. So thank God.
I just feel like, would the season be over, or would they have figured something else out? I feel like they'd try to tell us, oh, well, we would have no season. Oh, this would be a lot of money goes into this. There's going to be a season.
Bravo's not letting the season go down over a turbocharger.
Yeah. Bravo will get another boat.
Yeah. Andy Cohen's not going to lose a season over this.
Not on his watch.
Not on his watch. Okay. So they're working on it. And Jim is a good sport about the whole thing.
Well, yeah, he's buds with everyone. He already has a good rapport. They're out doing their water sports. They can have whatever refreshments they want. It's all good.
Yeah. Okay. So they're working on dinner. What do you think of the chef? You have any opinions about her?
I think that she's having trial by fire on the yacht. Mm-hmm. And she's a super stress case, which I think is very normal for a chef, especially working all by her. Like, I feel like the quality of food that she's expected to make and has been delivering on, normally there would be like four different people working on that. Like, it's wild how much she's expected to do all by herself. Or do you think there's boat elves for that too, Rob?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I was just going off of what they said in the chat. I don't think that there's kitchen elves, because I feel like that we would see them, no?
Yeah, I guess it would be pretty hard to film without showing them.
Yeah, I just feel like that she doesn't really add a lot to the show. She's not involved like really in any drama other than getting the food out there too slow.
Yeah, because she's in a relationship, she's not getting involved as much with the rest of the crew. But I do really love that she's an instigator. Like, she will straight up ask everyone who they're interested in, who they want to hook up with. She pushes them a little bit, which is always handy. But I would, she could push a little more.
Okay. So ultimately, I guess dinner went okay. It was fine.
Yeah, they did a family style meal.
Yeah, because it took too long last time.
Food. I love that. She's like, okay, it took too long. One course. That's one course. We're popping it all on the table at once.
Yeah, well, this is the first charter that we've had all season where people don't want to eat with the captain.
Well, I bet we'll get that next episode. Maybe. I feel like it's normally the second dinner they invite the captain.
Yeah. Okay. So overnight, we see Alex has to come on and do his shift. And maybe this is why he
slept.
But here's the thing. He keeps missing out on hooking up with Mads because he has to be to go to bed. But he's also the night shift guy. So which is it?
Well, they've been switching, I think, between night shift and day shift, right? So I don't know. But he was so sleepy and it seemed like he didn't really do a lot during the night shift. And Chase was not happy with that for the second time. This is the second time Chase has woken up in the morning and things aren't as clean as he would like them.
Are you team Chase or team Alex?
I'm never going to be team Chase ever, 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 even if there was a fire. Like, absolutely not. I mean, Alex isn't really giving much, but he gives looks. And meanwhile, Chase, I just think, is so irritating.
Yeah. Well, Chase, I don't think he's a bad looking guy, but nobody has any sort of interest in him. He did really go all into the yoga, though.
I think that Chase is giving stock photo. Like, when you look at him, like, he's not ugly, but he's not hot. He's just kind of there.
Yeah.
You know? But yeah, he looked up yoga online and said, I can bullshit this for 20 minutes.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, he really was like very into it. Like, I think he like arched his back. He was like, seemed like that he was, he's making Jim uncomfortable.
Wait. Why would arching your back be the one thing that indicates you're really into yoga?
He just seemed like that it was that he seemed very limber.
I got to admit, I was not paying attention to how flexible Chase is.
Did you see when he was like, what position is that dead baby that he was in?
Like, was he on his back holding his feet?
Yeah. Yes.
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 That's happy baby, not dead baby.
Happy baby. Yes. So
there's dead bugs.
Yeah, I get them confused.
They're not, I guess, that different.
Yeah. Anyway, but he was very into it. Jim, like, why did Jim and his crew want yoga? They didn't seem like they were like yogis.
Production told them to ask for it. I will die on this hill.
They did not seem like they were yoga enthusiasts.
I feel like at least one person in the party seems like they probably go to yoga sometimes.
Maybe.
But they're not like really into yoga.
Yeah. They didn't even have yoga mats. They were on towels.
Well, I mean, yoga mats can take up a lot of room. So
yeah,
they didn't bring their own. And that's not just going to like naturally be on the yard.
Okay. So luckily, the new part is here. They get the turbocharger.
It came so fast all the way from Amsterdam.
Yeah, they got on a plane and they got it out there. That Bravo money at work saves the season.
Did they have to pay for a seat for this part? Or like, did a person bring it? Or because this was certainly faster than a courier or mail.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it was like a FedEx, like over. Well, because you have to get it out on the boat, right?
Yeah, and then it got onto a water taxi.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm assuming some, like, there was some person
Bravo
was paid
production.
To bring it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think so. But they get it going. And so Colin is going to get it in to test it. Meanwhile, on the interior, I was very confused about what this was. I'm like, is this a towel that they have some sort of like novelty, a big gym?
I think it's a sale.
Tapestry. It ends up being a sale.
And I think that it always was a sale.
Did they bring it though?
Either production made this or Big Jim's friends had it made to surprise him. And I wasn't clear on where it came from. And I got to admit, for a long time, I wasn't clear on what it was. I, too, thought it was a towel.
Yes.
And also equally perplexing to me why anyone would want or have that.
I thought it was a towel. I was like, did they take this out of Jim's room and are mocking him? Because this is very unprofessional also, by the way. Yes.
That would be extremely unprofessional. That would be like, but also, why would he have a towel of himself? And why would he bring it on vacation?
Okay, next question, Kirsten. Did he pose for this picture or was this Photoshop?
I mean, that looks like a vacation photo. I could totally see someone taking that pic on the beach.
Interesting.
I don't know.
Big Jim is that kind of guy. Hold on, let us know.
I don't know.
Is that on his LinkedIn page? Can anybody tell us?
I mean, that's Amanda? Not the type of picture that goes on LinkedIn. That's more like probably a Bumble profile.
Yeah. OnlyFans.
Oh my God.
Jim. Yeah.
I don't know.
He is Big Jim.
That's what they say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, all right, Colin tests out the new engine and a lot of smoke, but it's working.
I was alarmed by the amount of smoke, but he said that it's normal. And then if the smoke stops, that means the part is working. And so then I guess the smoke stopped and it was all fine. But
yeah, there's a lot of oil in the engine. Okay. Amanda says that photo is not on his LinkedIn, just one of him and his buddies.
I feel like it's weird to have a group photo for your LinkedIn also, but you know, who am I to question Big Jim? He's more professionally successful than I am.
yeah, I don't know. Do you have any novelty sales, Kirsten?
No, I don't even have any non-novelty sales.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, I'm looking on his LinkedIn. Yeah, it is him and his buds.
Yeah, and Rusty says that the oil that spills in the engine needs to burn off. So that's why the smoke is normal. It's still alarming. Like, I'm not a person that works with an engine. So I'm going to be alarmed if I see smoke.
Mm-hmm.
They say that where there's smoke, there's fire. It hasn't been true so far. But like, what if it becomes true?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So they get that going and there's, you know, the smoke alarm is going off, but it's just the normal level of smoke.
You know, just the normal amount of smoke that everyone's comfortable with.
Mm-hmm.
It's fine.
Yeah.
No problem.
And then ultimately they set sail with the Big Jim sail. The Big Jim flag.
It's ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
It's ready to go. I am very excited to see what the next bit of this charter is like. Will this group be beloved even at the end of it all? Will they leave a good tip? I don't know. I feel like the range of tips has been very small this season, whether the people were happy with their stay or not. So I'm curious about that also.
Yeah, I'm looking for either like real cheapo depots or people to go way overboard. But no, it's been pretty much like within like some sort of like normal standard deviation.
Yeah, I feel like it's just been pretty equal, all things considered.
So far. Yeah, I thought this was kind of like a soft ending to raise the big gym sale. Like, I felt like this episode started off like more exciting, and certainly we had everything with the fire, but I felt like that the novelty of the big gym flag, I felt like, was not the strongest way to end an episode.
Well, I feel like out of all the episodes so far, this one had kind of the least drama with the crew and also the least drama with the charter group. So it just wasn't giving as much as the previous episodes have been. So I'm just hoping the next one brings a lot of
drama with the boat. Back to like similar to the first episode.
And it's like, oh, okay, the boat's a character too. Cool. No, I care about the people. I want to see people getting way too drunk. I want to see people falling over. I could do without any more head injuries or blood, but like a minor injury of some other sort could also be interesting.
Yeah, the chat agrees with you. We need some more wild guess. Amanda is asking, how would Kirsten compare this cast to the cast of BB Can 11?
Well, I mean, it's hard to say because we don't know the cast of BB Can 11 because there's no live feeds
on Below Deck.
I would pay money to see live feeds on Below Deck. I'd be like, sorry, Rob. Sorry, Taryn. I'm done with Big Brother. I'd be like, Rob, can I do the daily updates for Below Deck live feeds? I'd be here every day.
Yeah. I mean, it would be probably like NC-17 to do the live feed updates of
but that's fine. You could post those ones on the Hot Dummies feed and people come to expect a little bit of
I don't think Taryn would do it. I think he'd be pretty uncomfy.
I think that Taryn would love the episodes where the boat is the main character. I think that he would have we have a hard time understanding why these people are acting this way. Taryn would certainly have a hard time understanding it.
For sure.
He would not like it.
I don't think that this is necessarily his type of show.
This is not for Taryn. And that's okay because we're all different and we all need
He's a land shows. Lover.
He likes to stay. This he loves on land.
Unless he's climbing. But for the most part, does not love the sea.
It's unfortunate.
Well, San Diego, I think, is a harbor town.
Yeah, he's definitely lives ocean adjacent.
But I don't think he goes on a lot of boats.
I mean, getting on a boat is not, it's not always so easy to just have access to a boat.
Yeah. Do you spend a lot of time on boats?
No, I spend hardly any time at all on a boat.
Yeah. But don't you live like near the coast?
I do live by, like, if I left my house right now and walked for 10 minutes, I'd be at the ocean. But like a good boats are expensive. Like they said in this episode, what does boat stand for? Bring out another thousand. It's true.
Yeah.
You can also call them a hole in the ocean that you throw money into.
Yes,
you
know? But the real love boat never broke.
Well, that's not really a boat. You know, that is like community.
It's a ship. It's not a boat, Kirsten.
Oh, I'm so sorry. We do get a lot of cruise ships in my town in Victoria as well because the Alaskan cruises stop here on their way up.
Oh, okay.
So it's a big cruise town and a lot of tourism here from
Sarah wants to know, will the next RJP live event be on a boat, a booze cruise?
Absolutely not.
No, you don't think we should
I'm putting my foot down, Rob.
RJP live show on a boat?
I'm putting my foot down. Ship? Absolutely not. That would be
too messy.
The thing with these ships is you have to buy the beverage package, which is extremely expensive. There's all these little add-ons that go into it. It would be very elitist to have it on the ship because a lot of people wouldn't be able to afford to go and have a good
time. Yeah, you couldn't like have like a like rent out a boat and sell like a ticket and it wouldn't be.
I mean, I don't know how much you can just like charter a ship large enough to have a live podcast.
I mean, we're just talking right now. But like, I know like in New York, I'm sure like other cities, like go out, like take like a ship for 3 hours.
Yeah, but I feel like those are not as big as what you would need for a live show. And especially
maybe we don't do the show. Maybe it's just like a meetup.
I think that instead we should do a podcaster like bonding, you know, team building at an all-inclusive resort. I think that's
you want to go to the White Lotus? Yeah.
I
Sorry, I'm there. We burned that bridge. Yeah. All right, Kirsten, anything else you want to say about Below Deck : Sailing Yacht?
No, just thank you so much for having me. I'm so appreciative that Sasha's turned me on to this show and that it's getting coverage. And now I'm going to have a whole new interest.
Yeah.
I'm just so excited to be here.
Okay. Well, what's going on the Mess Magnets this week?
So this week while Sasha's away, I gave a lengthy Taylor Swift update because she's sick of hearing it from me. We talked about Harry and Meghan in a car chase.
For real? Like, was that like a serious thing or was that?
See, I am of the opinion, I've got my tinfoil hat on, that it is a very serious thing, that maybe the like car chasiness of it was exaggerated, but like, I think it's part of a larger plot from the British tabloids and the royal family.
Oh, okay. That's serious. Yeah.
I've got my tinfoil hat on. Mm-hmm. And so obviously my views on that only reflect myself, Kirsten McInnes, and not the larger RHAP
sure
community.
Appreciate you saying that. Yeah.
And then we just got into a bunch of quick bites and it was really fun. It was a really fun show. So highly recommend people check out Mess Magnets this week. Scally stepped in for Sasha and was a great guest, but I got feedback just the other day from Frail Mary that last week's Mess Magnets was like one of her favorite podcast episodes ever. So if people wanted to check that out, that's the regular me and Sasha as like chemistry as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Well, Kirsten, great job here tonight. Last night, Mike Bloom and I got together. Not Mike Blumenthal, but Mike
Big
Bloom
Mike.
And I. Yeah, Big Mike. I could see Mike Bloom having a flag like that. I feel like if he covered Below Deck, he would come in with like a printout of like the Big Mike sale.
No, see, that's Ali Lasher. She would have it printed out at Staples and she'd have it behind you. Her Mike would come in dressed as the sale, you know?
Yes.
Like he would be practically nude.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like that Instagram live that you two were on that one time.
I still have not received an explanation as to A, why he took his shirt off, or B, why he put on, well, he put on a buff because I told him to, but like he just disappeared for half an hour and came back with no shirt on. It was so weird.
Yep, I remember it well.
No explanation. I asked Angela, she had no explanation. Like,
yep,
I don't know. Mike just does what Mike wants to do.
Mike's gonna Mike. All right. But you can catch more Mike Bloom, not as much as that night, but still a lot of Mike Bloom, Big Mike, on the Survivor Feedback Show. If you are still listening to this before we reach the Survivor 44 conclusion coming up on Wednesday night, when we'll have a big night, not a Big Mike, and then 3 hours of Survivor, followed by Survivor Know It Alls, where the great Marianne Okich will be filling in for Stephen Fishback live at 11:15 p.m. Eastern time as we break down whoever won Below Deck or the Survivor 44.
Who wins Below Deck? I have to know.
Yeah, that would like the Tika 3 renting out the Below Deck sailing yacht for after they win.
I would pay so much money to watch that. Oh, my God. Yeah. Bravo, please.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Do you think like would that be against like the CBS contract to be like a charter guest on another show?
I think they probably have to wait a year, I think, until their contract is up. Yeah, but imagine Carolyn on the boat and then
oh my God.
You know.
Yes, I would like to see Carolyn on any mode of transportation, a boat, a train, a bicycle. Yep. It's all good.
Be very fun. Anyway, Kirsten, thank you so much for joining us. Of course, make sure you subscribe to our brand new Bravo TV feed. Go to robiswebsite.com/Bravo feed to check out all of the episodes of this podcast when Sasha is back with us. And also all of our Vanderpump coverage with the Vanderpump Roundtable as well. So thank you so much for joining us. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.